Hey guys, it's episode 612 of All Time Top 10. We are over the moon excited to continue our conversation with the legendary Severo. Or is it Severo the Legend? Either way, part two of Top 10 LA Punk Bands is coming up next. We're going to have some more fun with Severo talking LA Punk and reveal picks 5 through 1 in our definitive rankings. Of course, if you missed part one, please go back and check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Now, before we get started, I want to thank all the people that matter, the Patreon people. That's right, ATTT's Patreon is back, and we're going on an emergency pod tour, bringing on board some of our favorite guests to try out our patented emergency pod format, pulling a playlist out of our butts in real time. April's episode features the great David Daskal, and May's upcoming episode features the great Ryan Blake, and we already taped it. So you want to get on this, get these monthly bonus episodes in your inbox for only $5 a month. Sign up at patreon.com/alltimetop10. Also, come chat with us on Facebook. We've set up a chat group over there where anyone can start a conversation as long as it's about music. Thanks to everyone on our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. We're doing polls over there. Polls for the bonus track of the week and in service of the continuing rollout of the big, big playlist. Our list of the 1,000 greatest songs we've ever heard, the ATTT 1000. This week, 3 more songs were revealed and celebrated. At number 631, it's My Cherie Amour from Stevie Wonder. I was asking you guys what is the top Stevie song of the 60s. Lots of good suggestions here from you guys. From Once in My Life, Uptight, Fingertips, Part 2, I Was Made to Love Her, A Place in the Sun, We Can Work It Out, the Beatles cover, which is quite excellent, Someday at Christmas, I'd Be a Fool Right Now, and more. But we love My Cherie Amour from Stevie. At number 630, it's Nina Simone with Feeling Good. I was asking you guys, what's the best feeling song? Song with the word feeling in the title. Tons of suggestions, way more than we can get to here, but I'll just list off a few. More Than a Feeling, Keep Feeling Fascination. Joe Cocker with Feeling All Right. John Lord, Chance on a Feeling. Journey, Feeling That Way. The 59th Street Bridge song, Feeling Groovy, from Simon and Garfunkel. I Miss That Feeling by Tennis Music. Hooked on a Feeling. I Can't Fight This Feeling Anymore. I Got a Feeling by the Beatles. Peaceful Easy Feeling by the Eagles. Feelings by Delamitri. And You've Lost That Love and Feeling and a lot more. But you guys seem to love Feeling Good from Nina Simone, and so do I. But yeah, lots of great comments here. Thank you guys. Shirley says, so wonderful. Jonathan says, Nina is amazing. Love her. Morris says, Feeling Good always makes me feel great. Nina Joe says, yep, 150%. George says, this is a perfect song in every way. Marin Maven says, I have no notes. Perfect. Patricia says, I love Nina so much. Shira says, I like your accurate rating system. Thank you. And Scotty says, it's an all-time classic, Feeling Good from Nina Simone. And last but not least, it's number 629, Ray Charles. Nighttime is the Right Time. I was asking you guys, what's Ray's best banger? Lots of good suggestions here. What I Say, Hit the Road Jack, Shake a Tail Feather, Busted, Come Rain or Come Shine, I Got a Woman, One Mint Julep, Georgia on My Mind, Mess Around, and Hallelujah. I love her so, but we love Nighttime is the Right Time from Ray. Friend Michael says, Nighttime is the Right Time, the best, and if you're of a certain age, you will picture the Cosby Show when you hear it, but we're not going to talk about that, Michael. Thank you very much. Anyway, those 3 songs are now added to the big playlist, the playlist that keeps growing. It keeps on growing. Those playlists are available at Spotify and YouTube. Check it out and follow along. 3 more songs coming up this coming week, but for now, let's get into this episode. Let's wrap things up with Severo. Let's talk LA punk and our favorite LA punk bands. Roll the tape.
That's stupid punk rock. I just think of it as rock and roll because that's what it is.
Stunning, says Robert Hilbert of the LA Times. Bracing, stimulating, and technically superb, Todd McCarthy of Variety. Anyone who wants to learn about the new music at arm's length should check out Penelope Spheeris' chilling new film, Chris Morris, L.A. Reader, Suburban Voodoo, Doug Simmons, The Boston Phoenix. The Decline documents a sociological phenomenon that is the foundation for the most shocking American youth movement in history. Spheeris Films presents Fear, Black Flag, Circle Jerks, Germs, and X in... See it in a theater where you can't get hurt.
Top 10 LA Punk Bands, Part 2.
Good flow so far. Yeah, it's great. You ready for part two?
Do you want to do part two?
Yeah, I'm kidding. We're not waiting.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I could do more research and stuff like that. Now I know. Now I got the hang of it. It's like, okay, that's cool.
Nah. No. You got plenty of great stuff there. It's great. So we'll just jump right back into part two. And we're back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for waiting for us for a week. It's a week later here, and we were watching some YouTube videos of some LA punk stuff, and that was fun. Thanks for hanging around. Hope you didn't have any plans. If you did, too bad. What do you think?
I'm back.
He's back. Severo is here, everybody. Back in Goodless Studios. There they go again. See, the crowd is just as enthusiastic as they were a week ago.
Yeah, and they stayed here.
Even if they
didn't move. They're still here from last week. It's an amazing thing, ladies and gentlemen.
I know it's weird because we didn't feed them or they probably really thirsty.
Well, you know, they wanted to get into the punk spirit, and you know, back then those punks hardly ate.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, thanks for hanging out, guys. Appreciate it. Boy, they don't look too good. They should probably get them some water or something. Anyway, we're back here with Severo. We're talking about the greatest LA punk bands, past and present. I'm glad that you've included some, 90s stuff too, because it's pretty great in the 90s, and who knows what we'll hear in part two. Let's go to number five. Who do you have at number five?
Let's see. Do I have number five here?
What do you got?
Okay.
Oh, everyone, go back and listen to part one if you have it. Anyway.
Well, let me see what we got. Okay. All right, I'll have to do an honorable mention here.
Oh, he's going to go for an alternate because I stole something from him.
Well, yeah. Well, you know.
I stole the Minutemen, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's
stolen.
Fine.
I found out about that off the air, by the way.
Okay.
Anyway, what do you got?
All right. The great thing about the punk movement back in LA was that it was not just white guys playing music. There was a lot of great punk music coming out of the Latin community in the 70s, and there were a few bands out there that did the Latin punk, among them The Bags, The Brat, The Zeros, and Los Illegals. But for me, the band that epitomized Latin punk were a band called The Plugs, P-L-U-G-Z.
I feel like I've seen that on a t-shirt or tagged somewhere.
Yes, they were
The Plugs.
They were a wonderfully great band, and it was pretty much they did punk versions of Mexican folk songs.
Oh,
and,
really?
And that was really an amazing thing. Sometimes they would sing in Spanish, and it pretty much laid the groundwork for rock and Espanol that you hear nowadays. And they were led by this singer-songwriter named Tito LaRiva. And he had a very wonderfully checkered past before he formed the Plugs. He actually went to Harvard and snuck in.
Again, these people are smart. Oh, he snuck in.
He snuck in and he stayed there for a year before they found out.
As a student?
Yes, as a student. They kicked him out.
That's so punk rock.
They found out. That was so great.
That's so punk rock, everyone.
So anyway, he started the band in 1977. And he became well-known as a singer-songwriter throughout the later years. As a matter of fact, he was an actor later on. And one of his roles, which is really punk, was he played the role of Hammy in the Pee-wee Herman show.
Oh, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh,
he was Hammy. He had the mirrors on his shoes, so he could look up people's dresses, I guess.
What? Which is this really, a kid's show?
That wasn't really a kid's show. It was more of an adult show.
It was on Saturday mornings. I watched it when I was a kid.
Well, you know, he was one of those characters.
Love Pee-wee.
Yes.
Yeah. And another one. Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace, Pee-wee. And he's been he's still active in you know, songwriting.
Great.
And they do their album is they have a mix of, like I said, Mexican folk songs. There's a little bit of reggae in them.
Mm.
And they do this amazing punk version of La Bamba even before the movie came out.
Really?
Like 10 years before the movie came out, yes.
Oh, are we going to hear that? Or?
Yes, we should hear that.
Oh, this is great. The Plugs, P-L-U-G-Z.
Number 5, The Plugs.
What a great ending. Oh my God. They really brought it at the end there. By the way, I definitely have heard that. And I've heard it on Indy 103.1 back in the day. Do you remember that station?
Yes, that was one of the last great stations in LA.
Yeah, they used to just throw that on at the minute 38. And just, I love the energy. Fun. I would have loved to see that live back in the day, too.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine pogoing to La Bamba?
Absolutely. That is The Plugs with a Z, everybody. Look them up. Thank you for that one. Thanks for digging deep, too. And thanks for not stealing my next pick. Number 4 is up next. And to me, this is the one that I think epitomizes LA punk and hardcore in particular. This is Black Flag. Got to go with Black Flag here at number 4. Pitchfork sums up what Black Flag is all about in their retrospective review from 2002 of the album Damaged. They say, quote, Black Flag took on the essential ferocity of men about to snap and combined that with an acidic sense of humor and these things called songs, a concept that many of the wannabe punkers of the day were still trying to sort out. Damaged hit in 1981, and by 1982, four bars bearing the Black Flag name had been airbrushed across miles and miles of spiked leather. Conflicting feelings of violence, apathy, rage, and self-satire coursed through this one, the essential touchstone of the entire genre of West Coast hardcore, crystallizing the turmoil of the moment. Listen to Rise Above and Try Not to Be Incensed. Listen to TV Party and Try Not to Laugh Out Loud. That's awesome. So, yeah, formed in 1976 by Greg Ginn, or Ginn, I should have, I forgot to look it up.
We'll just refer to him as Greg for now.
Greg. Keith Morris and Raymond Pettibon, they formed the band. They were called Panic originally. They put out some early singles and EPs with a rotating cast of characters, especially at lead vocal. There was Keith Morris, who left to form the Circle Jerks. Then Ron Reyes, who had never even, he'd never been in a recording studio, and Des Cadena, who had never even sang before he was hired as their singer. They got real notoriety when they hired Henry Rollins, of course, to sing on their debut full length Damaged. And, I read they had the songs already written and the music already recorded and they had the lyrics and everything. They told Henry, just go sing this stuff and hope for the best. And it's an all-time classic album.
And Des Cadena moved over to guitar.
Is that what happened?
Yes, after he was a vocalist. He said he couldn't sing it anymore, so they got...
I liked his vocal style, though. They were, like, he's the one singing on I've Had It, I think, which to me is hilarious. Like, this angry guy. I mean, yeah.
And Henry was always already in a few punk bands in the Washington, D.C. area.
Right.
And so he was always an established singer. And I read somewhere that he helped finance the recording of one of his punk bands because he was the manager, the assistant manager of a Haagen-Dazs ice cream shop in Georgetown.
Right. Him and Ian McKay.
Ian McKay.
McKay. Yeah, they from Discord Records, they worked there. They were friends. but the album Damaged made number 340 on Rolling Stone's 2012 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. It's pretty impressive for a hardcore band.
You know what I read about Greg Ginn also is that he was on the top 100 guitarists of all time. He was number 99.
Yeah.
Which is like pretty amazing because his guitar playing is very influential.
Completely. No one, yeah, I mean, it's like violence on guitar, mm-hmm. you know, like overdrive, distortion, and just like squealing feedback and like stabbing guitar parts. It's like the sound of being stabbed almost.
Right. And he was the genius behind SST Records.
Mm-hmm.
And SST started as a mail order electronics outfit that he started when he was an age 12.
What?
Yes. SST stood for Solid State Transmitters, and he was selling surplus electronics through this. And he applied that towards forming SST Records, and the way he did it was that he went through the phone book, he found a record pressing plant, so he sent the tapes there, and because he made catalogs for his mail order business, he knew how to do the printing. So,
right.
So it was pretty amazing to start something like that at age 12 and then become a record label owner.
Yeah, I mean, Black Flag in their day never made a lot of money. They were touring in a van. You know, Henry Rollins' book, his memoir is called Get in the Van, and telling tales of being on the road with Black Flag. And, you know, it's very bare bones stuff and it fits their style perfectly. You know, I'm sure they would have liked to have maybe had a little more money, but, you know, it suited their ethos and, you know, the righteous rage. Like, we're going to play a Rise Above. And these lyrics, man, he's just, you know, Henry's going for it. Society's arms of control We think they're smart, can't think for themselves. Laugh at us behind our backs. I find satisfaction in what they lack. Rise above, rise above. We're going to rise above. We are tired of your abuse. Try to stop us, but it's no use. So, yeah, these guys were like terrifying. And well, that album cover, too, you've seen that. It's, it looks like he's punching a mirror. It was like shattered glass or like a mirror. Apparently, they shattered the glass first, and then they had him put his fist up to it. So it looked like he was punching it. It's a striking image. You know?
Oh, yes. And plus, their logo was a striking image of four black bars. Yep. And that was
iconic.
Yes, and that was designed by Raymond Pettibon, who was Greg's brother.
There you go. Well, anyway, let's hear Rise Above from Black Flag, coming in at number 4. And thank you so much to Colin, Bill, Dave, and Chris. They say play something from Black Flag. No problem.
Number 4, Black Flag.
Intense.
That's a song about bread.
Don't. Womp womp. Hey, Black Flag is back, by the way. In 2019, they played their first show in 5 years at the Sabroso Craft Beer, Taco, and Music Festival in Dana Point. And this was the start of a U.S. tour. And they also, in 2023, they did a North American tour where they played their seminal sophomore album, My War, in its entirety. And they are scheduled to perform this year at the No Values Festival in Pomona.
That's going to be a great festival.
Have you seen that lineup?
I saw the lineup. It's like we're talking all these bands that half of them are going to be there.
The original Misfits with Glenn Danzig. The Vandals, Fear, Iggy Pop, Social Distortion, Bad Religion, The Damned, The Exploited. Yeah, it's crazy. It's one of those things where you can get like a all-access pass and VIP whatever. It's like $400 or something, which is crazy for a punk show. But it's apparently like you get to like hang with all the bands and stuff.
Well, you get to see all these bands at one place that you'll probably never see. Yeah. In other places, I mean, compared to Coachella, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, Coachella, you get for that much, you get one night maybe, and like a churro or something.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, and here you can get a fried Snickers bar, I guess, which is probably an upgrade.
That's pretty punk.
But to see all these influential bands and the bands that were influenced by them.
Yeah.
You got to see that.
Pretty cool. I may end up going, we'll see. I hope I can afford it.
I hope I can, withstand the pogoing crowds. I guess I'll just have to avoid the mosh pit.
They're all going to be the same age as the guys in the bands, though. So they're all in their 60s pogoing.
Oh,
my back!
They'll have plenty of ambulances there, ladies and gentlemen, in case you need to exit.
Defibrillators ready at the ready. Anyway, it should be fun though. Anyway, let's go to number three. You got more for us there?
I guess I'll have to do this one here because I think, yes, okay. All right. This is a very hardcore punk band that I would imagine that it was all an act, but a lot of people didn't think so. They provoked a lot of people into coming on stage to fight with them. And they were very insulting.
This is Fear.
Yeah! This is Fear, featuring the wonderful Lee Ving.
What a great stage name.
What a great stage name. And he was originally from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So he had an East Coast kind of New Jersey attitude.
An accent too.
Yes, he had that accent. It was like if Tony Soprano was in a punk band, it would have been great. Yeah, he would always bait the audience with homophobic comments and offensive sexist stuff. Very offensive. And he was known as the Don Rickles of punk. So,
that's perfect.
And he would
antagonize
the audience.
And the rest of the band would too.
They were just
fuck you, eat my fuck. What does that mean?
Yep, they had a boy, if you ever saw the decline of Western civilization, yes, you would see how they would just bait the audience and be really, really provocative.
You could just really populate this whole list with all the bands that were in decline.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. And the great thing about his vocals was it was more of like a drill sergeant marine. Mm-hmm. That's the way he would deliver it.
Yeah, he didn't really sing.
No, he didn't really sing. He more like barked. And their big claim to fame or infamy, as we say, came in 1981. John Belushi from Saturday Night Live was a huge fan of theirs.
Love this.
And there was a deal made with Lorne Michaels, the producer of Saturday Night Live, that if Belushi did a cameo in his return back to the show, because he was hosting, right? What
was he hosting?
It says here it was a cameo, but whatever. He was on the show, and Belushi stipulated that if I come on the show, I want Fear to play as the musical act. And this was appropriately the Halloween show in 1981.
Perfect.
So anyway, they played a couple of songs, and it was just, they had a lot of punks in the audience.
Yeah, they brought their friends.
They brought their friends from Minor Threat and Ian McKay and all these people that are moshing, and some of them were saying, New York sucks.
New York's all right if you like saxophones. That's the song they played.
Yes, and they were just apparently just moshed on the stage, and Lorne Michaels was apoplectic, and in subsequent episodes of repeats, they just cut out the band performance.
But it is available on YouTube, and it absolutely should be seen.
Oh, yes.
It's so funny and crazy that this happened on live TV.
And that's what's great about it. That's why they call it Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
It was a very, very great punk moment. And it was like, you have to see it to believe it.
Perfect. Yeah, I had them in my alternates. I was going to play I Love Living in the City.
That was a good one.
What do you got?
Beef Bologna.
They played that on SNL too. I think it was like a medley. I think it was I Don't Care About You, New York's All Right If You Like Saxophones, and Beef Bologna. Great song titles.
Yeah, well, I couldn't imagine myself being at the shows going, beef, beef bologna.
That's an anthem of a different short, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I love it. I love Fear. Yeah. Li Ving was a good actor, too. He was in Clue and a couple other things. Bill and Chris, want to hear something from Fear. Number three.
Fear.
My babies are talking about low-down skakadoo. And a homo sap, my baby, just about the low down skagadoo.
It's a short song.
Whoa, stop. That sounds like the same song, but it's a different one. That's Beef Bologna from Fear. What was this? She don't like cash. She don't like phonies. She don't like junkies. She don't like drunkies. She just wants my beef bologna.
Beef.
Good stuff, man. It's so funny, and so many of these bands have such a great sense of humor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like we heard Descendants, we heard Bikage. That's not a very funny song, but they have so many funny songs. Fear is just all funny.
Fear was, if you got the joke, you realized. But a lot of people that come on Change to fight them, they didn't get the joke that they were
clearly, yeah. And Lorne Michaels didn't get it either. But. That's good stuff. Thank you for that. Let's go to number two. And I can't believe I get to play, because I played the Descendants, who are my favorite. I played Black Flag, who are, like, to me, the sound of LA punk. But to me, the best LA punk band is X. And I don't know if this is a steal or not. But I can't believe I get to play them at number two. I would normally defer to you that you have it if you wanted, but I know there's some good ones out there still that we can have for number one, so I'm not worried about that. And I can't put my finger on why X is so cool. They just are. I'll let them explain it, though. This is from xtheband.com. It's from their own website. Four decades after the inception of X, one thing is clear. X was not only one of the most influential bands to crash out of the punk movement of the late 70s, but their music continues to be sonically groundbreaking. Songs written during the group's inception are as relevant and inventive today as they were in 1977. In fact, the fact is, no one sounds like X, and no one ever will.
Absolutely. They were an amalgamation of spoken word, folk, and rockabilly, played very aggressively.
Revved up.
Revved up.
Yeah, yes. And yeah, it was like there's poetry in there.
Yes, and that's how John Doe and Exene met. They met at a place called Beyond Baroque in Venice, California, at the Wednesday Night Poetry Workshop.
And she'd never been a singer before.
Never been a singer before, but John loved the words she wrote, and
he loved her.
Yeah, well,
they were a couple that too. Shortly and, thereafter.
And yeah. He brought her to the rehearsals a lot, and she still wasn't in the band. And he asked her to if he could sing her songs, and she said, "I would like to sing my songs." So that's how they developed her singing. And what is amazing about X is that their harmony vocals, they're off kilter,
yes,
but they're so amazingly great together. It had that dissonance and that...
It's chemistry.
Yeah, it's that chemistry.
It took me a while to really latch onto their harmonies because they're not typical harmonies.
No, they're not. It's just a great combination that nobody can duplicate.
Yep. That's one of the many reasons why no one sounds like them. Billy Zoom on guitar. I read that Billy and John started the band when on the same day they both placed an ad looking for a band on the Recycler or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They both posted it the same day and they responded to each other's ads. That's how they met. Their stuff is great. Their first album was produced by Ray Manzarek of The Doors for some reason. That part doesn't compute. It's a great album, but it's weird that it's Ray Manzarek.
Well, Ray Manzarek loved the way that they depicted Los Angeles in her writing and her sound, and he just immediately, it reminded him a lot of what The Doors did, because The Doors
musically,
were that,
they're nothing like The Doors at all.
Yes, but, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that he found a kindred spirit in X because they had the same kind of observations of life in Los Angeles, and
right.
And X does an amazing version of Soul Kitchen.
That's true, on that first album.
Right. Yeah, and Billy's guitar playing was amazing, and I do believe, I'm trying to find out, but I think it was, he was the guitarist for Gene Vincent when Gene Vincent
right.
was
I read that.
His later years.
Yep.
So
he has that sound.
He has that sound.
Rockabilly.
He has a rockabilly sound, and he's got the stance.
Legs apart, right?
Legs apart, playing that guitar and just smiling.
Yeah.
And
they're just fun. They're also in the Decline of Western Civilization documentary, and yeah, some of the highlights of that were of them.
Oh yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Yep. I'm gonna play a song of theirs from their early years, and it's a song called "We're Desperate." Get used to
Very
it.
Very good choice.
Thank you. X is number two. Thank you so much to Christina, Terry, Bill, Peter, Morris, Dave, and Chris. They say. Play something from X. Number two.
Number two. X.
Has a new-ish album, came out in 2020.
Alphabet Land.
That's right. And it sucks because they the album doesn't suck. I'm saying it sucks that it came out when it did because it was their first studio album in 27 years. The first album with the original lineup, the same drummer too as DJ Bonebreak.
Yes.
First album with them in 35 years. And it was well received. It got universal acclaim, that rating from Metacritic. And American Songwriters Hal Horowitz gave the album 4.5 out of 5. He says it's not just an impressive, even unprecedented comeback, but one that resonates with the vitality and dizzying power of X's finest music. What sucks, though, is that I think they're already the tour and everything, and it came out in April of 2020.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but they're touring now. They toured the last couple of years, and they say, you know, Xene said it's like as good as it's ever been for them.
And
the
original lineup. You should see them. If you've never seen X, you don't know what you're missing.
I have to. They're playing all over California, too. So.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them numerous times, and they never cease to amaze me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a point to see them very shortly.
What I really like about their shows is that the fans are just singing each song like they were. And it's not easy to sing those X songs. They're really, really rapid-fire delivery things. But
yep.
It's L.A. embraces X because X is Los Angeles.
Yep, indeed. So they are number two, though. They're not number one. You're going to give us number one. Who is it?
Well, I'm going to give you number one because these were, I do believe, the first ones that really defined punk in Los Angeles because they were such an amazing debut that it was such a horrible debut for them, but it seemed to me like it was like the way that
that's very
punk was going to be. We're going to do it our way and screw you guys if you don't like it. And that is the Germs.
Yes, I was hoping. I was really hoping you'd go there. They were like my first alternate. If you'd stolen something from me, I would play something from the Germs. Another band from The Decline. Probably the Darby Crash was probably the star of The Decline of a Western Civilization, I think.
Yes, uh-huh. And if you will, and it was a very tragic depiction of him because he was
self-destructive beyond belief.
Like, yes,
like to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he actually did he commit suicide?
I guess. Yes, he did. He was.
But he did it because he wanted to, for him, it would be notoriety. But it happened on the same day that John Lennon was killed. And so, like, it happened and nobody even noticed.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. Relatively speaking. Like, he wanted to have this, like, blaze of glory go out thing and have everyone talk about him. And then just, you know, just bad luck all around, I guess.
I guess, but he was hugely influential in what he did because he just did what he felt like doing and damn everybody else. And it was like for them to come out that way, it shocked a lot of people.
Yeah.
But that was, I think it was intended effect.
Yep.
Do you know what their original name was supposed to be in, right?
It's no, what is that?
The original name that him and his co-founder Pat Smear was Sophista Fuck and Revlon Spam Queens. That was the original name.
Sophista Fuck and the Revlon Spam Queens.
Yes. But they changed their minds.
Yeah.
Because it's too many letters on a t-shirt and they couldn't afford it. So Germs was a little more appropriate.
Yeah, it works perfectly for them. Yeah, of course, Pat Smear went on to join Nirvana, and then he's been a Foo Fighter for years. And,
right, and he's also played with Mike Watt.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so.
Cool.
And their other longtime bass player was called Lorna Doom. And in the early incarnation of Germs had a female drummer named Dottie Danger, who was Belinda Carlisle.
Oh.
Yes.
Dottie Danger.
And then they had this other drummer fill in, and that was DJ Bonebreak from X.
There you go.
So there you go. That's the communal support that we've seen in all these Los Angeles punk bands.
Yep.
Their first gig was pretty much 5 minutes of nothing but noise because they really didn't know how to play their instruments. Darby put his mic in a jar of peanut butter. and that was that. I guess they kicked him off after 5 minutes. As a singer, he had a habit of not speaking into the microphone. There was an interview in Decline of Western Civilization where their manager says we kept trying to push Darby to sing into the mic, and he had a habit of not speaking into it, but when he would speak into it, it wasn't really singing in the traditional sense. It's more like tortured caterwauling, very raw, very primal, very,
yeah,
with reckless abandon.
They didn't make it easy to like this band.
No, but that's probably what they wanted to do. They wanted to challenge the norms of music.
Yeah, there was definitely an intention behind it, that it's not just nihilism and, you know, I mean, a lot of it is.
Right.
But, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, I think it was the purity of what they were doing, the primalness of just going out there and shocking people and just saying, this is what we do. And
we're in your face.
It laid the template.
We're desperate. Get used to it.
Right. And it was I think a lot of people that saw the Germs said, we could do this. Right. It was a liberating effect for people who wanted to do that kind of music, because there was no rules.
Yeah.
If there were any rules, they were broken.
Right.
And
they were kind of like the Velvet Underground in that way, or like, you know, the Beatles were in the early days. It's just like bands just, you know, people were like, oh yeah, I could do that. So, great pick for number one. I'm really happy you went there.
Well, it's the original, the start of the punk movement in Los Angeles, I do believe.
Is that right? What are we going to hear?
We can hear Lexicon Devil.
That's what I had.
Oh, see that?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's hooks in this song. It's not just some sludgy, there's like pop hooks that get stuck in your head.
Right,
you know?
And they did learn how to play the instruments. It's not bad at all. So let's hear this.
They probably didn't want you to say that, though. they probably prefer you say that they couldn't play. But Bill, Dave, and Chris say, we got to hear something from the Germs. And it's Lexicon Devil at number one. Good pick.
Number one, Germs.
Give him what he wants.
You know, as intense as Darby was a performer on stage, when you see him in his interview on the Decline of Western Civilization, he comes across as soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And
real quiet.
Very quiet, almost normal in a sense. And
the way they were living, though, it's real like squalor, you know.
It was, but you know, they're just talking to Penelope about their philosophy and stuff like that while they're making breakfast, and you know, and he said, "Oh, I screwed an egg up" or something like that.
And, yeah, they were just kids.
Yeah, they were. These were. You, just like most of the punks starting out then, young, disillusioned kids who were fed up with what was going on in the world, in their city, in their environment. And
that's why the Dead Kennedys named themselves like they did, because to them, the Kennedy idealism of the 60s turned out to be a crock of shit in the 70s.
Exactly.
And that's why they call themselves the Dead Kennedys. Because like, it's not the people that are dead, it's their ideals.
Right.
You know?
It's
and just, so, yeah, that's why you get punk. It's just like nihilism, because nothing matters anymore. That was like the ethos of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I have a little anecdote to tell, especially the musicians out there. When I was watching the decline of Western civilization, I noticed that a lot of the punk bands were using Rickenbackers.
Mm. I knew there was going to be some gear talk.
It's like, you know, you look at Rickenbackers, and they're usually like, you know, the Beatles and other things like that, but they were used as punk instruments. So that was, I thought that was very cool.
That's strange though, because it's not like a brutal instrument. You would think, like, what is the one Greg Ginn plays, that clear guitar?
That was a Dan Armstrong guitar, and that had a really nasty tone to it. But there was like, I saw three or four Rickenbackers and a couple of Rickenbacker basses. They go, that's very, very interesting.
I own the box set. I got to go back and look at that. I never noticed that.
Funny. You'll see it. You'll see it. It was pretty much an eye opener.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. Anyway. Thank you so much. Severo, everybody. Great list.
Still here.
Oh, we got them some snacks.
Yeah, okay. There we go. They're in the hospitality room right now. Honored to be here, Ben, and for this to be my first podcast. And
that's amazing. I really
enjoyed it. And I hope you out there enjoyed it as well. It was my honor and privilege to do this.
Well, we enjoyed having you, but we're not quite done yet.
We're not.
No, because we're going to do.
We have lovely parting gifts.
I can get you something. I'll find something that you can
like
take
the,
home.
Like the home version?
Yeah. Home version. I am home.
Okay.
We're going to do our honorable mentions, but we're going to do that in just a second, because right now it is time for the bonus track of the week for part two, the bonus band. We got one more song to play for everyone. This is another band that was selected by our friends on social media. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on social media, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week, selected by our good friends over there on the social medias. All right, thank you once again to our good friend Severo. Just saw Severo last night over at the Kibitz, and it's always a delight to get a chance to hang with the man if you can. Make it so. And go see the Smithereens on tour, everybody. Severo is the bomb. All right, so one more track to play for you. One more artist to feature. It's the bonus band of the week. These are the bands you guys were voting on social media. We had Agent Orange. We had the Angry Samoans. We had Red Cross. But the winner this week, it is The Circle Jerks. That's right. Founded by Keith Morris after he left Black Flag. More in that vein. They did their own version of Wasted, which is a great Black Flag and Circle Jerks song. And they were just like troublemakers, man. They sounded like troublemakers anyway. It's Keith Morris and The Circle Jerks. Our friends Bill, Dave, and Chris want to hear something from them. I'm going to play something from their debut album, Group Sex. That's right. And I'm actually going to play two songs because each of these are about a minute long. I'm going to play two songs as they're presented on the album back to back. One goes right into the other. So I thought I'd give you guys a little treat with that. This is a song called, two songs. One's called I Just Want Some Skank. And the other one is called Beverly Hills. Check it out. It's The Circle Jerks, the bonus band of the week for part two. Check it out, everybody.
Listener pick.
That's the bonus track of the week for part two. Thank you so much to everybody on the socials who made picks, everybody that voted and commented and all that stuff. You make us feel loved that you, you know, interact with us and tell us we're doing a good job or tell us to F off, whatever you want to do. It's fine. Thank you so much to all you guys. All right.
You could send me some money too.
Oh, shit. You weren't expecting that. Don't all podcasts pay their guests?
No. I did it for love.
There
and
you
because,
go.
Because of my buddy Ben here, I'm really happy to be here. And it
Thanks,
was a
man.
Really great back and forth between
it
us.
It was a great list.
Yes.
That's for sure. Do you have any more honorable mentions? Any other bands that you want to throw out there? I see like so much writing.
Yes. Well, I
what
just
else you got?
kept looking, you know. I mean, God.
We'll just run through a few of these.
Circle Jerks, of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Urinals.
The Urinals. I don't know that one.
Urinals were great. They were
a great name.
Yes, there were some students at UCLA that put on their first performance was like a parody of punk.
Oh, fun.
And then they became more of a punk band. They were
Urinals.
Great, you know.
What else?
Weirdos.
Yes.
Weirdos were great.
Yep.
Alley Cats, The Descendants.
That's
well, we already mentioned Descendants.
That's
right?
Fine. Yeah, you
okay,
had them on your
right.
list. Though. That's
I mean,
good.
It was like
there's so many.
It was really difficult to isolate bands just from the Los Angeles area because obviously there were some bands from Orange County, San Diego, Ventura, Oxnard area.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we were going to cover some of them, but that's fine. I think that what we got was great. I have a few more I want to mention. NoFX, one of my favorite bands in the 90s. I saw them live in 92 and just was there really fun. Also, Social Distortion.
Yes.
Got to mention, there are legends out here. When they play the Wiltern, which is like a 2,000 seat theater, they'll sell out like 3 weeks in a row or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people love Social D out here, and for good reason. They're amazing. I also had Fear, and I had the Germs and the Circle Jerks and Bad Religion and the Dickies and there's so many of the ones we covered. Thank you for covering those other ones. Also the Vandals, they're from Orange County, but they're really fun.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. They're the ones that did I Want to Be a Cowboy, right?
Oh. You mean the ones from the 80s?
I Want to Be a Cowboy.
No, that's not them.
Oh, that's not them?
That's somebody else.
I just remember that song.
And then I've got a couple of bands I just want to mention that are like punk adjacent from LA. Suicidal Tendencies.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah. The Runaways, you know, I don't know what you would call them, just rock and roll, really. Fishbone.
Oh, Fishbone, yes.
Yep. They got the punk attitude and the punk energy. They're just more of like a... ska
band. Yeah. A lot of the ska bands had that punk attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked great. It worked well together in the 90s for sure. And then last but not least, I want to mention The Nerves, which is more power pop.
The Nerves.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hanging on the Telephone was their calling card. And the Blondie covered it.
Right. And Peter Case went on to form the Plimsolls.
There you go. There you go. And then it comes back to the Smithereens. But they're not from L.A. though,
right? No, they're not from L.A., but I'm sure they listened to a lot of L.A. bands back then.
Well, I hope they listened to this, because at least one member of the Smithereens is a cool guy. Severo, everybody. Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
This has been great.
Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
Everyone find Severo. What's the group called you have on Facebook? Is there a page?
It's a musician page called Severo, S-E-V-E-R-O. And I have another one called Severo.
Yeah, that's like your personal one, right?
Well, that's how they pronounce it. I'm trying to make people pronounce it correctly, so I spelled it phonetically. It's S-E-V-E-R-E. O-H-H, Severo.
Severo, yeah. I'll put the link up so people can drop by and say hi.
Yep.
Cool. Thank you so much for being here, man. This is great.
Thank you, Ben.
Severo, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
See, now they're on my side.
They love you, too.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks so much, dude. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next time with some more good stuff. Who knows what it'll be. Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I appreciate that. Yes. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, peace out.
Beef, beef, beef.